WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
A perfect way to end your Monday by tuning into Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi. Thank you for keeping your radio dial set here to 95.9 WATD, also simulcast on 1510 WMEX. We have a great show lined up for you this evening. We will start things off right after the break. As you know, there's going to be a bit of a state senate, a special election for the Plymouth-Barnstable State Senate seat being left vacated by Vinny DiMacedo as Vinny takes to his new position with Bridgewater State University. That, of course, has opened up the floodgates. We have been privileged to speak with candidates. I think we've had John Mahoney was the first candidate. Becky Coletta was the second. Tonight, Jay McMahon. Jay from the town of Bourne ran for attorney general last year. Well, he is a Republican who is going to throw his hat in the ring running for this open seat. We'll speak with him first. Then we will speak with one of our premier sponsors. Let's not forget, last week we had a chance to have Peter Brown from Tiny and Sons Glass. He and I co-hosted a fantastic event down at Pilgrim Hall Museum in Plymouth. I want to thank all of our guests, and I want to thank Donna Curtin for hosting, for the museum hosting it. That show, of course, is now up online. If you did not hear it live, you have a chance to hear it again and again and again. But as I was getting to, Richard Rosen, another premier sponsor of Monday Night Talk, he will be checking in. Richard will be giving us the latest as to what's going on with McGuigan's Pub and the patio at McGuigan's. I think I teased it a few weeks ago that the patio was going to start offering brunch. Well, guess what, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we'll also add upcoming events that will be taking place, whether at McGuigan's or at the patio. So that'll be taking place right around 6:40. Second hour, we will speak with Jeffrey Yellenesian. Jeffrey is a opponent to the vape ban and the ban for flavored tobacco. As you know, on Friday, there was a hearing that was held. Jeffrey will join us and give his thoughts on the outcome or the content that was discussed during that hearing. We'll get his take on that and more. And then we will close out the show speaking with the folks from the True Repertory Theater as they have coming up this coming weekend, right after Thanksgiving, a Christmas Carol. So we'll have Don Sheehan, who is the founder of the True Rep Theater. I believe he's also directing this, and Victoria Bond, who is going to be acting in this. So that'll be coming up in just a few moments.
November, Thanksgiving. I like pumpkin pie.
I like apple pie.
Butternut squash.
Mashed potato.
Sweet potato.
Green bean casserole.
Ooh, rice pilaf. homemade stuffing. Cranberry sauce. Hot butter rolls.
Turkey. Duh.
Giblet gravy.
Ugh.
This has nothing to do with Brennan's Smoke Shop, but everything to do with food. Happy Thanksgiving from our family to yours.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Traditionally, we usually open our radio program with a state house report featuring one of our state reps, state senators, a constitutional officer. We've been privileged enough to have the auditor and the governor and lieutenant governor appear on a regular basis just to kind of talk about the latest topics, issues, legislation, you name it. But over the past couple of weeks, we actually have had conversations with folks who are seeking a seat that will soon be open. That is the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat that is at the second being held by Vinny DiMacedo, who has actually announced that he is going to be leaving his seat and taking a new position over at Bridgewater State University. If you listen to the show regularly, I don't have to tell you anymore because he appeared on the radio program and we discussed it at length. So the podcast is up. You can listen to that in its entirety as well as he's been on other avenues here on the radio program. So we've had candidates on and we have a candidate who is joining us today. He is a Republican from Bourne. His name is Jay McMahon. You may remember him, I believe, last year as he was a candidate for Attorney General. He returns here today. But first time on Monday Night Talk, we were kind of reminiscing during the break because inadvertently, I forgot that I actually was part of a debate where he and Dan Shores were seeking the Republican nod, the nomination, to face a square off against the Attorney General last year. Jay, formally welcome to Monday Night Talk and a conversation here to talk about your run for the seat.
Well, hello, Kevin, and hello, South Shore. It's good to be here with you today and to discuss the issues. Like you said, we were reminiscing about being on the show, or at least being on the radio program.
Yep.
Several times during the race for Attorney General. I got to hand it to WATD. I mean, you guys, you covered the race, you covered the issues. It was great being on and giving our opinions and our views as candidates as to where we're going to go should we get elected to the Attorney General. And as you know, we ran a hard campaign. I won that primary, but in the general election, I came in second.
Okay.
Although second was good, it didn't win any prize.
But here's the thing: you're running against an incumbent, and sometimes it's a tall task.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But what's the appeal to running for this seat, knowing that Vinny DiMacedo, you know, here he is as part of his third term as state senator, the Republicans holding this seat. What was the appeal for you to run? Is it a matter of knowing that there's a GOP base in the county that's going to help secure or retain the seat?
Well, I believe there is. Let me say this: you and I will be discussing all the issues and the reasons why I'm running as we get on with the interview. But I just want to tell your viewers that in the event we miss something that they're interested in, check out my website at Attorney Jay McMahon. You spell out attorney, and it's JayMcMahon.com.
Yep.
And you can get all the issues and our position on those issues. We're also on Facebook at J4, that's the number 4, State Senate, and at Twitter at J for State Senate. So your viewers can check in, your listeners can check in there and see where we are on all the issues. Now, you ask me what brings me to this. There were a lot of issues that I was running on statewide. One of them was the opiate crisis, and we can talk about that a little bit, but the opiate crisis hits home to me and my family. But there's a ton of other issues. I'm a lifelong resident in this district. I've lived in Bourne all my life. I got my business in Bourne. I'm an attorney. Prior to being an attorney, I've had 12 years of corporate management, and I've had 6 years of law enforcement in various aspects down on the Cape. And I've also been in the military. I was in the 685th Military Police Battalion. It's the United States Army National Guard. And did my training right out of high school at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And I was a second lieutenant. So I was an officer, and I enjoyed that immensely, but I only stayed in for the mandatory six years. And but I learned a lot, and I enjoyed that. So there's a lot of issues that our district is facing, and the legislature is in the process, or has been in the process, of diligently working on what I think is trivial topics when we've got some of our school systems in this district that need some extra funding out of a state budget that has a $1 billion surplus. So I'm concerned about where the focus is going on Beacon Hill. They seem to be focusing on things that are going to limit Americans as to the things that they do on a daily basis, and yet we're losing thousands upon thousands of dollars because we haven't got a balanced budget yet. These things kind of trouble me as what's going on Beacon Hill. There's a number of things that are going to be number of issues that are going to be affecting this district. We got some bridges we're talking about, the crossing the canal. That's not only in my town, but it's also in our district. People are wondering what's going to happen with that. Is the Corps of Engineers going to build these bridges and turn them over to the state? That would be the last thing that we want, the maintenance of those bridges. So there's a number of issues that are coming up with that that we have to concentrate on. And also we got an opiate crisis where we got 2,000 people every year dying in Massachusetts. Now a lot of people think, well, 2,000 each year, and sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. When it goes down, all the politicians take credit for it. The only reason that the rate ever went down was because Governor Baker gave Narcan to a lot of first responders. So all that did was just delayed the inevitable. People are dying under opiate addiction. And then we got the state that wants to, the state legislature wants to pass another gas tax, doubling up the gas tax that we already have. Now that affects poor working class in Massachusetts.
Can I kind of just interject here?
Absolutely.
Real quick. Now, what's funny is that this is kind of more of an open, this is more of an open proposed legislation than the Trojan horse it was. And it's one of my favorite topics, honestly. When Governor Patrick rolled out that was, I think it was like a transportation bill. It was like a $600 to $800 million transportation bill that had these different little taxes. You had the computer tax, the software tax. You had the gas tax that was going to be the one where legislators didn't have to vote for it. It would just kick
automatic
up
acceleration
all by itself. And we know that there was an initiative that was fought by a group, a small group of folks who actually won a national award, a Polly Award. I love saying that. I know Jeff Deal was one of them.
Holly Robichaud was a
small group of folks who mobilized, and it was David versus Goliath, where David got the victory. Why is this rearing its? Why do you think this is rearing its head once again?
Apparently, the legislature thinks that people have short memories. At least the way they're talking up there, you would think that this would be the third rail and they would stay away from it, knowing that the public absolutely hates this. Yeah. But I'm finding out that many times the legislature votes against our personal and public interests. And I'm going to be a big voice up there on Beacon Hill, and I'm going to continue to announce it all over the place when I find a tax that they're trying to sneak in, because I'll try to kill it. I've never found a tax that I liked.
Do you feel that it's important that a person like you is sent to Beacon Hill, knowing that we just recently lost. If you're talking about as far as balance, I know that there's a larger number of Democrats. We may not have the strife that we see down in Washington, D.C. and in Congress and the fighting that's going on. And there's a little bit more kumbaya that's going on. But you've lost main voices like the Jeff Deals, Sean O'Connor, who is now the mayor of Taunton. You're losing her, and she's been somebody who's been a fighter. Do you feel that your addition would help offset losses of voices like that?
Well, that's what we're hoping for. Absolutely. Sean O'Connor, that was so... When Sean O'Connor became mayor, first of all, she's the first woman mayor.
Yep.
Of Taunton, never, but she's also the first Republican in 50 years. Now, she's going to bring a common sense approach to municipal government. I can predict she will be overwhelmingly reelected as mayor when she runs for reelection, because she is going to be a good fiscal conservative, saving that city money and yet getting a lot of projects done.
And here's another case. She's a community person. She's very much always, she's a common fabric in the community. And anytime, if you followed her as a state representative, always in working with the community. And that's important. You can't be somebody who's elected and then, you know, only reappears before the primaries or preliminaries and the general elections.
She was one of the few friends of the American and Massachusetts taxpayer. And I will be a friend of the taxpayer.
So we got a few minutes left here. Other than the opioids, other than the tax, what are some of the other initiatives or other things that you'd like to accomplish if you are elected?
Well, okay, Kevin, so let's just talk a little bit. We've got some state senators out in Western Massachusetts. I'll let them rename nameless, but they are in Hampden County, Franklin County, in that area. Here's something that they're floating, a bill that they want to see passed in the Senate and then send it on to the House. And it's a bill to... grant parole to people who are in prison, first-degree murderers. Now, in Massachusetts, as you know, we have no death penalty. So if you're convicted of first-degree murder, you get life in prison without parole. Now, for some reason or another, that these two liberal state senators want to coddle these people and give them some parole. I have no idea what the thinking is, other than to say they're just soft on crime. When it comes to public safety, this country and our state, since 9/11, and certainly since 2013 with the Boston Marathon bombing, we have seen that evil lives amongst us. And if we're not going to pass a death penalty in this case, which in this state, which we probably won't, although I'm a proponent of that, especially when it comes to cop killers.
Sure.
And maybe we'll talk about that either later on or another time. But here's the issue. I'm going to make sure that the people of my district and also of the Commonwealth are safe. Public safety is my number one concern. Mm. And I'm going to work hard to make sure that these murderers stay where they're supposed to be. I just can't fathom why somebody can't think of something else like public safety when it comes to the opiate crisis. Why is it we got a 99% failure rate with opiate rehabilitation when we know private pay programs have an 87% success rate? So those are the things, as well as local issues, that I'm going to be addressing.
I can see you, and it just popped into my head, especially when you talked. We talked about Shauna, and I believe Shauna, along with Dave DeCoste, state rep representing the 5th Point District, I could see if you are successful in attaining this, I could see you two being kind of a force up on the hill, especially here for the folks on the South Shore.
Absolutely. Dave DeCoste and I have had conversations about death penalty bill, a successful death penalty bill that would pass constitutional muster. I mean, first you got to pass it in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, and the governor has to sign it. Although Governor Baker has said he would sign a death penalty for cop killers. And in our conversations, one of the things we said, well, let's take some of the statutes from some states that are successful already, such as Florida. California actually has a successful death penalty bill. They don't use it much, but it's passed constitutional muster. And also Texas, Louisiana, and Alabama. They've got, and Georgia and South Carolina. They have death penalty statutes that have already passed constitutional muster. So we're not going to have to pay the same or do the same to go all the way up to the Supreme Court in Washington. Those bills and those statutes in those states have already been tested and passed constitutional muster.
We just have a few minutes left here with you, Jay. Anything final that you want to kind of squeeze in before I ask you my last question, or maybe contact information for additional information on the issues that you're going to look to, your campaign will focus on?
Well, if you want, you can check out my website. It's attorneyjmcmahon.com. You can also find us on Facebook at J for State Senate, and also on Twitter at J for State Senate. Well, public safety is my number one concern. Also, sanctuary cities, that can't be. We've got a problem in this state with MS-13, and we actually have that elements of MS-13 on Cape Cod. We cannot allow sanctuary cities, and Massachusetts certainly can't be a sanctuary state. If it is, we become a magnet and a haven for these gangs. And we've got a problem with opiates already in the streets, even in this district. So I'm in favor, and I will concentrate on public safety issues. I am in favor of cooperating with ICE, because ICE removes evil elements from our society. Now, somebody says, well, an illegal immigrant is not an evil element. No, but when they are caught doing crime, they are. And I'd work with ICE on that. So those are some of the issues that I'm talking about. If we crack down on criminal illegal aliens, we will save the $1.8 billion we pay each year out of the Massachusetts state budget. $1.8 billion is about 5% of our budget that we could better spend on roads and infrastructure.
Last question I'm going to ask you, and again, this has been like an appetizer, so I definitely will look forward to having you back in for a fuller conversation in the near future. What are you thankful for, knowing that we got the big holiday coming up? What are you thankful for, and what do you look forward to when it comes to the holidays, other than family and friends, something that you like seeing on your plate?
Well, that's interesting you say family and friends, because I am thankful for that, but I'm even more so thankful for this country. I'm thankful for the state, and I'm also thankful for this district. And this coming year will be the 400th year of the Pilgrims Landing in Plymouth. So I would be deeply honored to be the state senator of this district, especially within the town of Plymouth, on that 400th year anniversary. They came here for religious freedom. I believe fully God has blessed this country abundantly. I am completely thankful for the Constitution of the United States, which gives us individual protections like none other on the planet. This is the best country. People complain about it, and our system may be flawed, but we have the best system, the best judicial system, the best government, and the best Constitution on the planet. People, fight hard to maintain your constitutional rights. Don't let government officials take them away. And when I get to Beacon Hill, I will be a voice for the people, and I will protect those constitutional rights. That's a guarantee you can take to the bank.
And what do you like to see? What's the favorite thing you like on your Thanksgiving Day plate?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a traditionalist, so the regular turkey and gravy and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the squashes and everything. I mean, we go all out. We put everything out there like a buffet. We have a lot of people over at my house. We'll have about 25 people at
my
house.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we absolutely love it. And we generally go to the football game, so we'll be going to the Bourne-Wareham game.
Good times.
For the last couple of years, Wareham has given us a trouncing, but I think Bourne's got a good team this year, so we'll see what happens.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Jay, thank you for joining me here today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be here. Looking forward to seeing you again.
You got it. All right. Well, that's it for our first segment of Monday Night Talk. Coming up in just a couple of moments, Jeffrey Yelenesian will be chatting with us. As you know, Friday, big hearing in regards to what's going on with the tobacco and vape supplies. Jeff will be in to kind of give his take on that. Again, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
At Margaret's Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture in Brockton, they will help you with all your sewing projects, upholstery repair, and window decor. They work on both commercial and residential projects. They've been creating for over 32 years many custom upholstery and curtains. Call 508-345-4165 or visit Margaret's Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture.com and see how they can help you.
Over-medicating chronic health issues can be an issue of its own. The time has come for efficient, plant-based remedies formulated specifically for you. Join the millions of other Americans who have found relief thanks to CBD oil. Your CBD store on Route 53 in Hanover has award-winning CBD-based products targeted for use in pain management, anxiety, depression, nausea, insomnia, and seizures. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. However, there's a lot of misinformation about CBD. Before you make a decision, you should learn all the facts. There is absolutely no marijuana in products sold by your CBD store of Hanover. Find a better way to treat your chronic conditions. Visit a trusted resource with award-winning products. Your CBD store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD store of Hanover. Help without the high.
Getting sick is inconvenient. Getting great care shouldn't be. From illnesses to injuries, ConvenientMD, New England's leading urgent care provider, is here to guide you back to good health. Walk into any ConvenientMD location in New Hampshire, Maine, and Massachusetts to be seen by their expert medical team. All clinics are open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. ConvenientMD, expert medical care when you need it, made affordable. Learn more at ConvenientMD.com.
Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Well, what makes Monday Night Talk unique and why we are privileged to remain on the air is due to our fine sponsors. And joining us right now is one of those fine sponsors who we probably have on a regular basis. He is overdue to come in studio. We're also overdue to do a live broadcast from one of his two establishments on Washington Street in downtown Whitman. I'm talking about none other than business owner Richard Rosen, who owns not only McGuigan's Pub, but right next door, the patio at McGuigan's. Mr. Rosen, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
And how are you tonight, Kevin?
We are doing really well. And again, if I haven't said it before, I'll say it again. Thank you very much for being a proud sponsor of this radio program and a regular contributor as well.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So I have to say, the first thing I think we got to talk about, I am a big brunch guy. I love restaurants in general. I've been a big fan of your restaurants, not because you and I are friendly, but because of the attention to detail, and there's always something new that's added, whether it's entertainment, whether it's to the menu, to whether it's an event. One of the first things I think we should talk a little bit about is the patio now is offering brunch.
We started I think 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we worked on it for a couple of months to come up with a menu, and it's been pretty good. So they have, it's a full breakfast, full brunch, with some pretty unique things. And we have all kinds of drink packages, but we, build your own Bloody Mary seems to be the thing now. So my daughter Danielle designed this card, so you can order a Bloody Mary and put anything in it you want. And I wish we could show a picture over the radio, but that might be a little difficult, because in these Bloody Marys is you can put bacon. It's a different bacon that we use, so it stands up straight. Celery, burgers. I mean, there's shrimp. So the first weekend that we opened, there was this couple at the bar. And so we're giving all the customers these Build Your Own Bloody Marys cards, and you check off what kind of vodka you want and what kind of seasoning. So you build literally your own bloody. So this man and woman were sitting at the bar, and I saw this. It looked like a masterpiece. And they had burgers in them, and they had shrimp, and I'm like, they're like little sliders, you know? I'm like, that's pretty cool looking. So they ate and drank their bloody and then ordered breakfast. I would have had to go home and take a nap after I ate and drank the bloody. But it's going pretty well. And we do brunch from 10 to 2 every Sunday. So it's different for, you know, Whitman. It's different for the area, and it's been pretty good so far.
It does. It sounds phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to making it a regular staple ourselves when me and my significant other are leaving church. We usually try to decide where we want to go for brunch. We do brunch somewhat on a semi-regular basis, depending on our schedules. Unfortunately, last week, we didn't go to church because my missus was not feeling too well, so we ended up staying home. Because the plan was actually, we had already had it penciled in. It was on the calendar to go to the patio and try out brunch and make it, you know, one of the places that we stop every Sunday after church. So we'll definitely have to do an update next time you and I talk. And I am one of those people who will build a Bloody Mary, and it'll be like an appetizer before my breakfast, just like that couple.
They really do look pretty spectacular. So I have come to the conclusion that, you know, when we were planning the brunch, you have to get all your supplies and all your equipment. And, you know, we figured we needed more coffee cups. We didn't have enough coffee cups, and we bought carafes. And, you know, we had all this stuff. And I'm not sure we served a cup of coffee on the first Sunday, because every person that walked in there was drinking alcohol at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was great. And every person in there was taking a picture of their drinks. It was pretty cool.
See, we got to get people to start putting those on, whether it's they share it to the McGuigan's Pub, or does the patio have its own Instagram page already?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so maybe folks, if you do go to the patio, and I'm just suggesting this, take a little word of advice from your friend Kevin here. Make sure you tag the patio, because, you know, maybe there are other people who are looking. And, you know, a photo says a lot of things. And if you could share your photo, it could help others who might want to go and build their own Bloody Mary and see your concoction.
It is pretty cool. So also at the patio, on talking about brunch, mm-hmm. on Sunday, December 15th, we're going to have Santa there. So you can have brunch with Santa from 10 to 1. And tomorrow morning, we are going to erect the 15-foot Christmas tree that we bought for inside the patio. That's going to be put up, and it's lighted. And I was talking to my daughter about it, and I don't think we've thought it through completely, because how do you get to the top of a 15-foot Christmas tree to put ornaments and decorations on? I think it's going to be a bit challenging, but we're going to find out.
So let me ask you this. Is there a way, what are the width, what's the width of your doors? Do you have is it just a single door on either side of the building, or do you have double doors?
No, it's a single door. No, it's not a real tree. It's a real tree inside the restaurant, which I wanted to do, and I was advised that, no, that
now
you can't
do
that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we bought this tree, and you actually, It comes in a lot of pieces, and you put it together. It's going to be pretty interesting.
My God, it's never ending. And as though we've, you know, that's it to talk about the patio. The final thing we're going to talk about here is you're, again, the king of events. Whether it's something for your own establishments or as a community member. Let's not forget, not too long ago, as a member of the Winterfest committee, you know, this tremendous idea, you know, to lower a cookie, a Toll House cookie in the center of town. You, again, you and the
Rosen family have come up with an idea to ring in the new year. You want to share the idea?
So we're going to have a New Year's Eve party, and it's themed roaring into 2020.
Nice.
And it's $50 per person, and you get dinner. You know, we have a limited menu, dinner, one drink with that, a champagne toast at midnight, party favors. We're going to have a best dressed costume. So the theme is dress as a gangster or a silent screen star, come as a flapper or come as you are. So we're really looking forward to having a lot of fun on New Year's Eve. And we have entertainment by Tag and Bree, which John Taglieri comes in and plays often. So we're going to have live entertainment. I can guarantee you that on one of those TVs we have in there, we will be watching the Three Stooges marathon. So it's 7 to 12:30, also at the patio. So that's going to be kind of fun. We're looking forward to a nice New Year's Eve party. Ticket sales are limited, obviously.
And when will tickets actually go on sale? Are they on sale now, or are they soon to be?
They went on sale this morning.
Ooh.
So there are tickets available right now. You got to see one of the managers, and you can get your tickets now. It's going to be fun.
How excited are you for this?
Pretty excited. I think it's going to be pretty cool. We've been talking about it for a while, and then we had some posters printed, and you know, to try to tease it a little bit. So it's been we've already sold a bunch of tickets, so people have indicated, you know, a group of 8 or a group of 10. So it's going to be exciting.
You know, and it wouldn't be fair. Do you have any updates in regards to the parent restaurant, McGuigan's? Is there anything new, or anything do we just want to reaffirm to our listening audience as to, you know, hey, we'd love having folks come through the door at the patio, but don't forget, right next door is McGuigan's as well.
And, you know, it's funny. We are about to celebrate our 10th anniversary, wow. December 9th. So it's called Cheers to 10 Years is our theme. So we have a theme over there. There's a big banner in front of the building that has information about our 10th anniversary. We had T-shirts made for all our employees with a new logo. It is simply Cheers to 10 Years. And we're going to be doing some, you know, giveaways, gifts, you know, appreciation type stuff for the support that we have received over 10 years. It's, you know, the pub is the pub, and it has this following of people. And, you know, a lot of the pub people don't want to go into the patio because they think they're cheating on the pub.
It's true.
But it's like a whole new crowd in the patio, but the pub is doing well. And again, it's been 10 years. It's hard to believe, but in a few short weeks, it will be 10 years.
I will have to admit to you, Richard, that there is a mini crisis group that actually meets on a regular basis, because we feel as though we love the patio so much that sometimes we are kind of cheating on McGuigan's pub. I have to ask you, you know, I remember you and I having the conversation about, you know, converting that building into McGuigan's pub, the 54-foot mahogany bar, and you dreaming up what this restaurant was going to be like. Here we are sitting 10 years later. How does it feel 10 years later to know that McGuigan's pub is still going strong, and now you have a competitor next door that is part of, you know, the Rosen, establishment?
Well, you know, it's really, in terms of pure competition, it's totally different. I mean, as you know, the menus in both places are so far apart, it's not funny.
Yes.
But it's very rewarding. You know, I probably should have retired rather than open another restaurant, because, you know, everybody has to work twice as hard. But I'm still having fun. I don't know about the rest of my family, but it's very rewarding.
And let's not forget entertainment. You know, some of the great things that you do have going on, whether it's the Irish sessions that are going on, that's to me, that's kind of been the steady. What are some of the latest ideas, whether it's music or trivia or, you know, a singo or anything like that that you got going on over at McGuigan's?
We do singo on Mondays. We have for quite a while now, which is we have a following now for people that come in every Monday night for singo. And then we have the Irish session Tuesday nights, which we have been doing for literally 10 years. They haven't missed many Tuesdays in 10 years. And then Wednesday night, of course, is half-price pizza. And then we have entertainment Friday, Saturdays, and, of course, games on Sundays. And it's a pretty good place to hang out.
And I would argue with anybody who would be willing to argue with me, that when you decided to go all out and become one of the best places for pizza on the South Shore, that it is still one of the best places to get pizza.
Yeah, I've been really lucky with the recipe that we were able to acquire. Not only the recipe and the cheeses and
oven,
which makes it the really good pizza, but the fact that we have a couple of people that just do pizzas, and you know, we make the dough fresh, I think 4 times a week. And which really makes it a great bar pizza. We do a pretty good pizza business, yeah.
If anything in closing in regards to website or any further information, anything that we've talked about that you just want to remind folks about?
Yeah, come visit one of the two restaurants and we'll be really happy. No, I mean, you know, you've got the websites for both restaurants. McGuigan's Pub and the Patio at McGuigan's, and we're open every day. We open Mondays at 4 and every other day at 11:30, except the patio on Sundays, which now opens at 10.
Okay. Last question I'm going to ask you, knowing that it's the theme, knowing that just in a couple of days it's a very special holiday, Mr. Rosa, what would you say you, my friend, are thankful for this season?
You know, I'm thankful for the support of the people that come into our restaurants. We do have a really large, loyal base of support. And that I'm thankful for, and all the hard work and effort that all my employees put in to make it successful. And, of course, my daughter who runs both places. So it's that in itself is very rewarding.
Well, those are all great things to be thankful for. Before I totally forget here, it is also worth noting and me congratulating you on receiving your third, is it Economic Development Impact Award? Is that correct? Did you just receive from the Metro South Chamber of Commerce?
It's the Economic Impact Development Award.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually the third one in about 9 years that I've won, which is a huge honor. I mean, it was given at the 106th annual luncheon of the Brockton at the Metro South Chamber of Commerce. I won the first one 9 years ago for, you know, the opening of McGuigan's Pub, and then I won one a few years later for the renovation of the Old Baptist Church in Whitman Center, and now I won this one for the patio. So it's, I think they give away 10 awards throughout the whole Metro South region, and I was the only one from Whitman, again. And it has to do with the investment that I've made in not only Whitman, but Whitman Center. It's quite an honor, and I'm very grateful.
Well, again, congratulations, a tip of the cap to you, because, again, you are somebody who is always, you're very cerebral when it comes to business. You're not just somebody who you create and then, you know, hope that it will keep perpetuating yourself. You're always doing new things and trying new things, and that deserves recognition. So I'm glad I was able to at least kind of mention that before we ended our conversation. Before we say goodbye for this segment until the next one, folks want to find, you want to, you know, either check out the menus or any entertainment, or even want to get tickets for the event coming up on New Year's Eve, how can they find out more information regarding McGuigan's or the patio?
So they call 781-447-7333 at the pub, 781-447-2525 at the patio, or on our websites, patio at McGuigan's or McGuigan's Pub.
Richard, thank you so much, and may you and yours have, Becca, Danielle, Kathy, have a fantastic Thanksgiving, my friend.
And same to you, my friend. Thank you.
You got it. Well, folks, that's it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, hour number two, right here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
WATD FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
It happened at the supermarket, November 20th, 1993, a Saturday. Most people do not buy duck. We are not a duck-eating people. Who thinks of duck? College quarterback Dick Wright did. On impulse, he pulled a nice frozen duck out of the freezer. But then he noticed it had the shape and the feel of a football. Cold as Green Bay, but a football. So on his way out, there's his brother by the pickup, about 35 yards. Bill gets a grip on that duck. He faints toward the end zone. His brother goes wide left, and that frozen duck had the ride of its life. That wobbling duck just flew. It smashed through the fingertips of the wide receiver and demolished the windshield of Sal Roseo's 89 Firebird. You just can't put a good spiral on a frozen duck.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home, and we fix your windshield. Your insurance company covers it. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
At Margaret Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture in Brockton, they will help you with all your sewing projects, upholstery repair, and window decor. They work on both commercial and residential projects. They've been creating for over 32 years many custom upholstery and curtains. Call 508-345-4165 or visit Margaret Sewing, Upholstery, and Furniture.com and see how they can help you.
Do you need to get your estate plan done? Protect your assets from the nursing home? Concerned about losing money to probate or estate taxes? Or concerned about how your last wishes are carried out? Join attorney Tom Williams for straightforward, clear answers to all your questions during one of his free seminars on December 3rd in Rockland, December 4th in Brockton, or December 5th in Quincy. Call 617-847-4200 and listen to Sound Advice with Tom Williams every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on 95.9 WATD.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Joining us for hour number two, we start off our conversation with Jeffrey Yelenesian from Brennan's Smoke Shop. Just a little tease for later on in the program. We have the folks from the True Repertory Theater, as we're going to talk a little bit about A Christmas Carol, as that show, the curtain will be going up on that. But we turn our attention to my good friend Jeffrey here, as this past Friday, the state held their hearings
in regards to what to do in regards to, was about as far as vape sales.
Whether
and help me understand here. What was your what was the hearing for?
So
the state held this hearing.
Charlie Baker enacted a emergency ban on all vaping products.
The sale of all vaping.
The sale of all vaping products. Yes. He was sued, taken to court. It went up to Superior Court. The Superior Court judge said he was overstepped his bounds. He could not ban something. It had to be an emergency order. So his emergency order stopped temporarily the sale of vape products and vaporizers until January 29th.
Are you sure? I thought it was until December.
Is it December 29th?
I think it was December.
Doesn't matter.
So next month.
So the judge ordered Governor Baker to hold a public hearing to hear what the impact of the emergency order was going to be. It was amazing to see not one person came out in favor of the emergency order. The room was filled with people opposing it. Store owners, consumers, lawyers for lawsuits. Prior to that, the House, the Senate, and I'm not sure if Governor Baker signed a bill, but the flavor ban is going to go into effect June 1st. And that bans all flavored tobacco, except in smoking bars.
So when you say it bans flavored tobacco, and this is just the smokable? It's not the chewable?
No.
Is it all
flavors? All wintergreen, menthol, hookah tobacco, cognac dip cigars, widely popular infused acid cigars, banned. That is a ban.
So help me understand as to how you're understanding it. What was the general purpose to ban all of these flavors? Is it strictly because of underage use?
The idea is that the tobacco manufacturers are flavoring tobacco strictly for the purpose of making it appealing to minors. Like adults don't enjoy eating candy or, you know.
Don't touch the stuff, no kidding.
But listen, Kevin, no kids are coming to my store buying flavored cigars and then smoking them and going, this tastes really good, because it doesn't. It's an acquired flavor and you need a mature palate for it. They're probably making themselves sick. I would argue that society, not the retailers, not the tobacco manufacturers, but society in general is kind of promoting the use of flavored tobacco products. And not in the traditional sense. I mean, if we have people buying vanilla Dutch Master cigarillos, it's not to smoke them like cigars. They're breaking them open and getting the wrappers and they're smoking weed, you know. So, but I think it's important to I think the really important thing here is to realize that the tobacco stores, the convenience stores, the vape stores are all united in this front now to fight the government, the state government. But I think that united front should expand to the alcohol industry, because if they can ban flavored tobacco, they can ban flavored alcohol. You know, cinnamon schnapps isn't cinnamon schnapps. I'm sorry, cinnamon whiskey isn't whiskey, it's schnapps. And it's got a really fancy label on it. And kids see their parents drinking it every weekend. And they think, I've already had my 5-year-old tell me, when I get older, I'm going to drink wine just like you, mommy. I don't even drink anymore, but I've heard it at 5 years old. Just the other day, when I was leaving one of my girls' functions, extracurricular activities, one of the other young kids was sitting outside with a lollipop, and he had the lollipop in his mouth, and he goes, I'm smoking. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. You're an athlete. So there's the education. We cannot stop our kids from getting these impressions, but what we can do is educate them. And what I, when I testified at the public hearing, is that the state took tobacco control's funding years ago to pay for the transportation bill. If they really cared about the public health, they would restore the funding to tobacco control so that they can do the education and the stinks like they used to. They're subsidizing it with the Food and Drug Administration. The FDA doesn't have the manpower either. It's up to the towns and the communities to govern their towns and their communities. What I also said was, I became addicted to pain medicine at a young age. I think I was 19 when I had my first tooth extraction. And he gave me Vicodin. The first pill, and I know you've heard it before, the first pill, I was hooked. I got addicted to alcohol. I got addicted to marijuana. I was addicted to cocaine. I decided to quit drinking. I decided to quit taking painkillers. I decided to quit smoking cigarettes. I decided I didn't want to snort cocaine anymore. I decided I didn't want to be in the darkness anymore. I chose to be in the light. Charlie Baker didn't do that for me.
So you're saying that this is, and I'm going to kind of encompass this, if I can put a wrapper on this. You started by with the talking about the little kid with the lollipop, pretended like, look, I'm smoking.
He's not seeing that on TV.
He's not seeing that, but he's not seeing that on TV. But what's happening is these young minds, these young people, are sponges, and they're absorbing what they see around them, and they're looking at, when I get older, I want to emulate this, and I want to emulate that. You talk about yourself as a self-governing individual.
We are all individuals.
We're all individuals, but some of us do not have the governance like you do.
That's not my problem.
No, I get that. I get that. I'm not saying that. We are all, you know, society's problems is always seen as a whole and not as the individual. You are absolutely correct. And I don't know in this day and age how we can kind of take it on a case by case, knowing that our population continues to grow and our issues continue to change and morph and go into different directions.
It's not for you to know, and it's not for the Public Health Commission in Massachusetts to know. It's up to me to know.
How will you feel? Here we are, you know, a couple of days after that hearing. How are you, as a business person, as somebody who is, how are you feeling today, knowing that you've had time to kind of sleep on this and assess it? How are you feeling right now?
Well, the vape hearing was Friday. Saturday morning, I was woken up out of my bed because another show. I read an article in Boston.com where my mother was quoted, "I'm done." And my mom, who's the founder, we're moving towards exiting the state of Massachusetts because it's not friendly, not only to the tobacco industry, but it's not friendly to small business in general. The move towards a totalitarian government is imminent. And people better wise up because pretty soon, there's only going to be Amazon and Walmart. You're going to need something at the store, you go to Walmart, you know? And if they don't have it, it's on Amazon, and that's going to be it, and those are going to be controlled by the government. Not communist, totalitarian.
Do you ever feel, and again, we're speaking with Jeffrey Yelenesian, who is here on someone who has had regular conversations here on Monday Night Talk, as we've seen different wrinkles starting with
it goes back years ago. I've been 30 years it's been a fight,
but I'm saying, as far as being on this particular program, the variety of conversations we've had in regards to leading the charge when it comes to tobacco, some of the tobacco regulation or tobacco laws or what, anything that the government has tried to put in place. It's interesting that you just mentioned, though, about the Amazons and the Walmarts. Any worry that, you know, and I'm kind of just
worried.
That our government and corporations will soon kind of morph into one.
It already is happening.
It is happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you don't see it, you're
if you're able to, if you're able, if you have enough money, if you're able to get up there, if you're able to lobby the right powerful leaders, the people who can help coerce other
influence,
influence other elected officials to, we should do this. Then, yeah, it's yeah.
Well, we watched the hearing the other night. They were united. Every amendment that was proposed to the flavor ban was shot down. One amendment was a fine for a minor in possession of tobacco products. You know, if you see a kid drinking a beer on the side of the road, cop's going to arrest him, and his parents are going to be held responsible. That was legislation that was shot down. Another piece of legislation, one of the senators asked for money, $10 million for tobacco control. Shot it down. I heard, and it's hearsay, that there was an agreement between the Rhode Island government, governor, the Massachusetts governor, and the New Hampshire governor to ban flavored tobacco. Now here I'm thinking, Governor Baker, if you believe that the governor of New Hampshire is going to ban flavored tobacco at this point, you are dead wrong, because people are going to flood New Hampshire. They're already flooding New Hampshire. One vape store said he did in one day on the border of Massachusetts in vape sales what he usually does in 2 weeks. There's a gas station in Salem right over the border of Massachusetts. The whole back the whole back wall of the gas station is cartons of cigarettes from, and it's about a 50-foot wall, floor to ceiling from one side to the other. People in New Hampshire smoke a lot of cigarettes, I guess, huh? But they're not. They're not from New Hampshire. They're going to Massachusetts. New Hampshire guy can just go down to his local corner store. You know, it's not friendly. We've been pleading with these people to... I filed legislation 4 years ago to regulate vape products. It didn't go anywhere. I filed legislation this year, bipartisan legislation this session, to regulate vape products and be a little easier on some other vape products like the premium cigar line that are completely adults. The kids aren't coming to me to buy $10 premium cigars because they think it's cool. They're just not.
Right.
And the other idea, when you go to these hearings and you have the directors of the Board of Health South Shore Collaborative and they're telling them, they're directing their advertisement at kids. I'm like, I don't see that. I'm in the business and I don't see that.
Is it possible, though, that they're... You're talking about this as far as selling tobacco?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting that you say that. It sounds as to me that there's a confusion there, that maybe they're looking at years past when you had, like, you had, you know...
Lucy's and...
You had, you know, Camel, and you had Camel Gear, and then that was the perception with, the tobacco...
Fred Flintstone and Winston ads.
There were like different things that they were. It was the manufacturers, the cigarette manufacturers, you know, big tobacco companies who were the ones who were perpetuating these advertising campaigns towards not the mom and pop or the smaller organizations like Brendan Smoke Shop and any other that you want to name in and
around mass market.
Around the Commonwealth. When you are putting out your public service announcements in regards to Brendan's Smoke Shop, they are, you know, a lot of that times there's a message there, and it's usually it's a sound message. It's not like, hey kids, come on in, we've got the latest colorful, you know.
They're definitely adult oriented.
It's very adult oriented, but again, you do it in such. I said it before, whether folks want to agree with me or disagree with me, I'm not saying it for the appeasement of the listeners. I'm saying it as an observation, as a business person, and I've said this to you one-on-one, is that I see you as a brilliant strategist when it comes to marketing, but I also see you as a type of person who operates a business with his heart on his sleeve and with his customers, you know, there with them in mind as well. Am I wrong with
that
statement?
Absolutely. Appreciate that means I'm doing a good job of I'm doing a good job. That's what I'm trying to portray.
And Jeffrey, if you and I will tell you on the other side of the coin, if I disagreed with what you were doing, I would openly say that I disagree with what you're doing. but that you have every right as an American citizen to do so. But of course, you would be open to criticism, whether it would be from your peers, whether it be from your customers, or other.
But I want to go back to the direction of advertisement.
Please do.
I don't see tobacco companies directing their advertisement towards children. I do, however, perceive alcohol distributors doing what tobacco companies used to do. And I'm going to go back to the 80s. Spuds McKenzie. They actually did it again with the little chihuahua. Here we go. Oh, what a cute little dog. I want to drink Budweiser. You know, Fireball with the cool looking demon on the bottle. You know, the flashy labels, you know.
But here's the thing. It's getting tougher and tougher to do business, to market. We have a very hyper-sensitive culture these days where there could be good intention with what you're trying to market. Look at comedians. It's going to be tough to be a comedian these days where, depending on what you say...
So politically correct.
You have to be... Yeah, there's a political correctness that is expected, and if you say something out of connotation, it could be a death knell. It could be a death blow to your career as somebody who tries to be a funny person.
I've actually... wanted to do stand-up for quite a while, and my stick was going to be all my experiences in this business. And some of it's really funny. But listen, you know, how many kids got to get splattered on the roadways, DUI, before they do something about that? How many kids got to get hooked on pain medicine before they stop dentists from prescribing dangerous medications for routine tooth extractions? You don't need it.
No.
You just don't.
But I have to tell you, though, Jeffrey, if you haven't realized it by now, life is filled with hypocrisies.
It is.
And where, you know, people want to be overly sensitive with one particular issue or topic, and they want to be heavily, you know, swayed one way or the other, there are other things that need attention but aren't getting the dire attention it deserves.
Yeah, this traditional tobacco cessation device that people are using to get off traditional combustible is the bad guy, but yet, you know, there's places that are prescribing more pain medication than they even have patients that can eat it all. You know what I mean? And they know that, but it's all money. It's money driven. And I don't know if people realize that. There's something underlining here with this. There's some group that is promised something in return. Nobody does anything for nothing. I applaud them for their concern with my household and my children and my family. I applaud them. But at some point, get out of my house. But let me tell you what. Mom and I I'm the ultimate optimist. My mom is the ultimate pessimist. She's...
Sounds like a good counterbalance.
She drives me crazy. She wants to close up shop and leave. She wants to sell her house.
She was here the last time you... It was
she's a great lady.
She's fantastic. And just seeing the two of you interact...
I'm the fighter. She's beaten up. She's, you know, almost 7 years old. She's been beaten. I'm still young. I'm the fighter. So mom wants to pull up stakes and get out of here. I said, no, we're not going to leave our customers stranded. This is my destiny.
Mm.
Whether I like it or not, this is what God has in store for me. And I'm going to continue to fight. So the next step for us is to file an initiative petition and get the signatures this time to get it on a ballot for a vote.
When you say a ballot, so you're looking to do a ballot initiative. When is the next ballot initiative? Is that next year?
I think it is
next year. But there's such a sequence.
Well, but this time, Kevin, we're looking. Like, I tried this on my own, and the convenience store, the smoke shop owners was. There's not that many smoke shops in the state. There really isn't. I went to all of them. They're all owned by, for lack of a better term, non-English speaking operators and clerks. To pass an initiative petition, you have to campaign for that. And if you don't have the language, it's really hard. But this time, we have the vape shops, the tobacco shops, the convenience stores, and dare I say it, the liquor stores should show up and help us fight this battle. Because it's not about tobacco, it's about flavoring. It's about flavoring, and you've heard it before, sugar, and they flavor it. Everything has flavoring in it today, and we don't know what flavoring does to our bodies. So, I mean, anybody that's in any kind of business, you know, the food industry, fast food is declining at a rapid pace, and it's because people are smarter about the choices they're making and what they put in their face. People have, you know, and that's not the state or the federal government saying, hey, this fast food, eating this every day is bad for you. Those are people making their own conscious decisions of whether or not they want to eat McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's, or they want to go home and make themselves a salad with a little tuna on top. That's my point. It's not the state's job to govern me or my rights, my freedoms, and my liberties. It's up to them to protect the public's health. And there was a bunch of other things that they could have done besides putting small business out of business, like making minor in possession illegal, a fine, you know, okay, ban. It was amazing to watch the hearing the other night, the Senate hearing, when they passed the flavor ban. So I think it's the bigger elephant in the room here, not the vape ban, because that's going to be lifted eventually. We're looking forward to them extending that ban till June 1st. So when the vape ban is lifted, you won't be able to buy any flavored vape.
Yeah, we've been speaking for this segment with Jeffrey Alanesian. He is someone who is he's part of an ownership, Brennan's Smoke Shop, but also is somebody who has been a proponent for, the tobacco rights, vaping rights.
Human rights. Human freedoms and liberties. I'm a patriot. I'm following my path of what I was taught in school.
We have just a few moments left in this segment, and in knowing the spirit of this week, later on this week, many of us are going to gather with family and friends. I think it warrants me to ask you, knowing I know that we've kind of had this contentious issue that we've sat and talked about. I want to kind of take you down a few notches from 11 down to maybe like a 4. And sorry, I had to do a spinal tap. And what are, if there's something that you can identify this holiday season, what are you thankful for?
I'm not going to be the universal guy. You know that. I'm thankful for my family.
Yeah, you're an outside of the box kind of a guy.
I'm thankful for the people that are supporting adults' rights to choose. You know what children are? Children are inexperienced people. They are people. They're inexperienced people. Yeah, they're smaller. They don't know. But eventually, the problem with children is they grow up to become adults someday. And adults have the right to choose what liberties they take. Whether it be heroin, opiates, crack, whatever, eventually parents are going to have to deal with their children making their own decisions.
All right. Now, on a personal level, outside...
And I'm thankful for liberty.
What are you thankful for on a personal level, though? Whether it's family, whether it's friends or other... Separate the business.
I'm like Daniel in the lion's den, Kevin, and my Lord is going to take me through this. So I'm thankful for God in my life.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you. I'm glad that you were able to share a couple of things that you are indeed thankful for. And so when can we expect you to be back with an update? You think will there be any news that breaks before the end of the year?
So glad to get that hearing behind me, Kevin. It's been like I just want to take care of my customers. We are still in business. We're going to be in business. We have a lot of great customers, a lot of loyal customers, and we're going to continue to take care of them and stand up for them and fight for them when there's a fight. I'm going to anyways. Mom's out of here. She's done.
Gonna have Mom back in before the end of the year. Tell Mom I was asking for it. Will you do that for me?
I did.
Will you see her? Will you see her on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
All right. And one other thing. So, like, do you sit down and eat a traditional Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, you know, I talk about food. I'm pretty much a cheating vegan.
Okay,
so,
okay, all right, so
I might have a little piece of turkey, but I'm rice.
What would your favorite part of the meal be?
Butternut squash.
Yeah, me too.
I love it.
I love vegetables.
Little.
You know what? I shook my fist at my mother when I was younger when she would make me eat all these vegetables. But now, the only vegetable I've struggled ever to eat is okra. I had a bad experience with it. I've never tried it.
Doesn't again. Like the green things.
Yeah, they kind of got like a. It's like a. When I had it, had it kind of like a slimy kind of. It was just.
If it comes from the earth, not walks on the earth. If it comes from the earth, it's good.
Words to live by. Jeffrey, thank you again. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Same to you, Kevin.
You got it. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, the final segment of Monday Night Talk. Please don't go anywhere.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Getting sick is inconvenient. Getting great care shouldn't be. From illnesses to injuries, ConvenientMD, New England's leading urgent care provider, is here to guide you back to good health. Walk into any ConvenientMD location in New Hampshire, Maine, and Massachusetts to be seen by their expert medical team. All clinics are open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. ConvenientMD. Expert medical care when you need it, made affordable. Learn more at ConvenientMD.com.
I'm Mary Ellen from Your CBD Store in Hanover. With my background in health education here in the South Shore, I know all about managing chronic pain. The results I found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open Your CBD Store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD Store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by Your CBD Store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Visit our boutique-style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD Store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD Store of Hanover. Help without the high.
Is it a stroke? Even if you're not sure, act fast and call 911. Signs can include face drooping on one side, arm weakness, speech difficulty, or not making sense when talking. Time is critical. A stroke requires immediate medical care, which starts as soon as the ambulance arrives. So if you see any sign of stroke, act fast and call 911. Visit mass.gov/stroke. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
So we return for, I would say, my favorite segment. As I have said more than once, I look at the radio program that I'm privileged to host as a meal with, of course, its series of appetizers at the beginning, and we have the entree, and of course, after 7:30, the lights go down. It's time for the dessert. I hope you two appreciate that. We have two good friends who are here.
Is there whipped cream in our future?
And I thought that Victoria, seeing that she, of course, is the person, the South Shore foodie. Let's not forget, a couple of weeks ago, she was in here talking about the new adventure that we're going to talk more about in the future. Because her and I love, she's got more foodie stripes than I do. But I've had a meal or two in my lifetime, so it's okay. But we're not here to talk about food. So, Don, it's okay. We got Don Sheehan, who is here, who was the guy. Give me your title again, as far as you're kind of the founder, co-founder of True Repertory Theater in Kingston.
Yeah, I'm the founder and artistic director of the company.
I knew you had more than one hat, but I didn't want to. Would you say it? Because you would say it much better than I did. And they're here to talk about their latest show that's going to be going up this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the season, A Christmas Carol.
over at the Beale House. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, those who are pretending, get your tickets. Get them now, because we're here to talk a little bit about the show, Tech Week. I love Tech Week.
Yeah, I love Tech Week.
What made you guys want to go for a Christmas carol? What made you choose this for this time of year?
Well, I think it's a show that we've actually done in the past. We've produced the show probably 3 or 4 times over the last 10 years. And every time we've actually used a little bit of a different version, a different take on the show. And that's certainly no exception this time. We also have, for the first time, a female Scrooge. Victoria is actually playing Scrooge for us.
Perfect.
Yes.
What do you mean, perfect?
Because of this.
Hold on.
If there's anybody, no. You're taking and going, oh, you're the character Scrooge? No. If there's anybody who can take on any kind of a role and do it with zest and zeal and do it to perfection, it's Victoria Bond.
Oh, you are so full of it, and I love you.
Wow. No, you are.
That was good. You spread that really well there, Kevin.
That's the nice frosting. There was some frosting.
Well,
I'm
wearing my good hip boots today, so.
No, what's actually interesting about that.
Waiting in whipped cream.
when I think about Victoria as an actor, there's a certain. I think with this role, there's a certain gravitas that an actor.
That was the other word I was going to use, but I didn't want to take up every good word in the dictionary.
I know. I'm upping what you. Yeah, I'm just upping it a little bit. But there is a certain gravitas that I think an actor has to have in order to play this role, and that's one of the first things that I noticed about Victoria when she even came in and auditioned for
my
us.
My gravitas.
Your gravitas.
It was all about her gravitas.
It was all over the place.
Oh my God, uncontrollable gravitas.
So we're very fortunate to have her playing the role, and we have a wonderful ensemble of actors, some of them that you will have seen from past productions, and we actually have one new actor. Her name is Adrienne Moreland, who has just, she's out of Plymouth as well, mm-hmm. as Victoria is, and has just joined the company for this first production. So we're really excited about it. Of course, this is the appropriate time of year to be doing it, and the other thing that we've been trying to be very thoughtful about as well is making sure that this is something that the entire family can come out and see. You know, if you have I would say like a 6 or a 7 year old and up, that maybe this is their first time seeing the production. It's an abbreviated production of it. It probably runs about an hour or maybe a little bit more, and there is singing in it. There's some beautiful accompaniment of a lot of Christmas carol standards that you've heard in the past, and then some others that you probably haven't heard before. Our musical director / pianist has done a lot of great work and research to bring a great blending of familiar pieces and others that I hadn't even heard of before.
Elaine,
Elaine D'Angelo.
Yep.
And it's worth noting is you have a knack, as to my limited exposure to you in true repertory theater, modernizing pieces that have been done traditionally. And what's wrong with having a female as a Scrooge? Why does it always have to be the male who is the head of the company? Why can't it be a woman who is a little bit more fiscally conservative as to how she is, watching the books and managing the company?
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Fiscally conservative.
Wait.
Code for greed.
Well, it's also kind of heresy, because you wouldn't call yourself that, right?
What, greedy? Just,
no, fiscally conservative.
Me? Personally? No. No.
We shall not talk about that. What was it like, though? What has it been like? Because I know you're just coming off of Shirley Valentine.
I am.
How did that go?
It actually went very well. Thank you. Thank you for asking. It was, it was something I felt I needed to do, and I was glad that I did it.
But so, like the transition going from...
There was none. I could kill him, because I was
She's
not
tried.
Intending.
She's
I really was
you
not intending
failed.
To do... I was going to do Shirley Valentine and then take a nice, big, long, fat break.
Obviously, Dawn was able to...
He tackled me in the parking lot.
He said the right words.
Yep.
Twice.
First time didn't work, so I went again.
But there had to have been an appeal to say to take on significant role.
For sure. It's an iconic role, and it is traditionally played by a man. And there was something about that that, absolutely, of course, I find that appealing. And I like who wouldn't want to play Scrooge? You know, it's a great part. So that was attractive. And, and the fact that it's an abbreviated version, I love A Christmas Carol. There's so many different versions out there. And, some of them can feel endless. So this is really a nicely done, very compact, full evening. And that I in a short period of time. And, it's a busy weekend. Let's not kid ourselves. It's Thanksgiving weekend. So, it's a wonder. I think everybody's looking for something to do with the family. Obviously, you sit down, you have that big meal. Mm. But then you've got the whole weekend to sort of twiddle your thumbs, maybe go shopping. I don't know what you're going to do. But this is a great sort of family fair. It's a great thing for the family to do together.
So this is a hot rumor that to continue the idea of modernizing, that Don, you're going to be Tiny Tim.
Well, that is, I don't know who spread that vicious rumor, but no, that is untrue. Okay. However, we do have a female playing Tiny Tim as well.
Yes.
So, and we've also...
I have uncovered another nugget.
You have. I've also, in directing
it... Tiny Tammy?
It's Tiny Tim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also set in an attic. So when the audience walks in, they're going to find an attic of a lot of sort of cluttered...
Oh, goodness.
Furniture, and then the play takes off from there.
And what's the idea of having such a small but yet confined space? What's the visual trying to tell?
Well, I think for me, from a directing perspective, having directed it three times in the past, I really wanted to challenge myself to really do it in a different way. So you spend time trying to say to yourself, what is the make sure that you sustain the storytelling and what's going on in the story, but what type of theatricality can you add to it that I haven't done before? How can you conceptualize this in a different way to constantly keep, we talk about this a lot, that element of keeping your audience surprised so that every time that they walk into that space over at the Beale House, oh, wow, what am I going to see now? So when the audience first walks in, they're going to walk into a bunch of cluttered furniture that has sheets and cloths and everything sort of covered at the very beginning of the show. And then everything gets revealed and the show takes off in I think a very fast and beautiful way. That's the thing about the timing with it being a family event, what I was saying before. If you have a six or seven-year-old that you want to bring to this,
perfect.
An hour will do that. Seven-year-old's not going to
limited time
want to hang out for 2 hours.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, so there's that part of it as well. So we've tried to be very thoughtful about making this, to Victoria's point, a true family event for Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, I mean there are, to me it almost feels dreamlike. The way the play unfolds, because it just sort of switches from one thing to another thing to another, the sort of the way dreams do. I mean, or you could look at it as sort of the clutter of Scrooge's mind.
Yeah.
Which it's a really interesting take. It's a really interesting interpretation. I love what you're doing with it. I actually really love what you directorially what you're doing. I really do.
And again, we are speaking with Don Sheehan and Victoria Bond. They're here on behalf of True Repertory Theater. They have a production going up this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fridays is an evening affair, 8 p.m. And if I'm looking at my information correctly here, is Saturday and Sunday both matinees, or do you have a matinee on Saturday and then an evening?
Right. We have it on Saturday, we have a 3 p.m. and then an 8 p.m. Then Sunday again is at 3 p.m.
And just so you know, if you want tickets, I would believe you want them to go to the website.
Yes.
Which is the, proverbial www.truetrue.rep. Theater, remember, boys and girls, it's theatre.com, not ER. Okay, just keep that in mind. Get your tickets. Get them now. That's what is important. What has it been like trying to get this all together and rehearse this? Well, you've done this. This is your third time. Was it easier to pull this cast together, get them off book, and kind of have it where they were all committed by last week?
Yes, I think people knowing the time frame, it just sort of compacted everything, and I think when people know what that time frame is, they just kind of get in there, do the work that we need to do, and make sure that they've got everything done. Because a lot of times it's difficult that until you're really fully memorized, you're kind of still in your head as opposed to in your entire body. So the acting, I think, becomes a little bit more difficult until you've freed yourself from the script. Although I am a true believer that there's a lot of acting that can be happening before you're even off the script. But I think just that comfort level of having, released yourself of that piece of paper and just being out there and engaged and, dealing with the other actors, you really can't do that to the full extent until you've been able to let this go. But everyone's been working hard. Again, I can't say enough about our pianist, Elaine D'Angelo, who has done a ton of research about the show and really brought a lot of unique music to it. The other thing, if you don't mind,
please,
that I think is equally important to this production, honestly, if not more so, is that we have both Victoria and I, and I wanted to mention, Victoria is also an associate artistic director of the company, along with a gentleman named Paul Noonan, who is playing Bob Cratchit in this show, and The Ghost of Christmas Past. We have formed a relationship with both the Kingston Public Library as well as the Reed Community Center, which is the recreation center of Kingston. True Rep for several years has had something called Project 719, which is a community outreach program.
Okay.
So we are now partnering on this production with both the Kingston Public Library and the Reed Community Center to support Pilgrim's Hope of Kingston, which is a shelter. So we're doing both a food drive and a toy drive at each of the performances.
Yep.
We are looking for toys that are appropriate for children / teens, 12 to 18, and then non-perishable food items. They can bring them directly to the show. If they don't bring them to the show or they're not able to attend the show, both the library and the Reed Center will have drop-off boxes. The library is on 6 Green Street in Kingston, and then the Recreation Center is on 33 Summer Street. It's the building directly behind the Adams Center.
Mm. Yeah, I think you should explain Project 719.
It's how it started, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I
yeah.
Do.
So,
I do.
Okay. It's interesting. I think someone was asking me about that a week or so ago. Someone said, where do you get 719 from? So in July of 2016, on July 19th of 2016, I had a kidney transplant. I had been challenged with chronic kidney disease for about 20 years. And I found a donor in one of my best friends who, our surgeries ended up happening on July 19th of 2016. So at that point, True Rep had been trying to do as much as we could, from a community outreach perspective. And at that point, the appreciation that I felt in terms of, how lucky I felt, because sometimes people, unfortunately, sit in a dialysis chair for years on end. And fortunately for me, it was about 8 months. And then I said to myself when I was sitting in the bed after the surgery, I said, I want to be doing more. I need to be doing more to give back, because I've felt very fortunate, not only about the successes of the theater, but about how fortunate I was to receive this kidney and really, come back to a healthier and more sustainable life. So I said, I need to be doing more. So one of the things that we have
tried to be very thoughtful about. Whether we can, you know, thematically relate it to a show or not is to try to do something from a community outreach perspective on each show. And a food and toy drive is something that we have always done with Christmas Carol. And I think the other thing that I would say is that if you know of any type of organizations, you know, this food and toy drive right now is specific to the Pilgrim's Hope Shelter in Kingston. Certainly we hope to branch that out in the upcoming years. But the other thing that we're doing with that organization is bringing them to the production free of charge. So I would like to say now publicly that if people know of other organizations that they think that they would enjoy this production and they otherwise could not afford the cost of the ticket, please get in touch with us. You know, they can go directly to our website, the address that you just mentioned a few moments ago, yep. Or they can also check out our Facebook page at True Repertory Theater and message us. You know, this is a cause that's very important to us, you know, all year round, but in particular at this time of year during that Thanksgiving period. Mm-hmm. We would love to do this for as many organizations as we can. So mm-hmm. please reach out to us. We would be more than happy to set aside as many seats as we can for each of those four performances for people that otherwise couldn't afford the price of the ticket.
And again, the website that he references, www.truereptheatre.com. That's your way of doing so. And again, we're speaking with Don Sheehan, of course, the founder. Also, he's directing this show, A Christmas Carol, along with your main character, Scrooge, Victoria Bond, who is here. As is a tradition, it seems, and it's one that I'm thrilled that when we have folks who are putting on a production, that there's a sample. I believe that you have a bit of a sample that you would like to share with our audience.
We sure do.
If you will. Do you want to set up the scene?
Sure.
Please.
This scene is between a solicitor that's called a gentleman visitor in the script. And this scene takes place towards the very beginning of the show where they're coming to ask Scrooge for money. And Scrooge in her... typical way sort of comes back at these solicitors as to why she will not be donating anything to them.
Okay. So without any further ado, here's a small sample of A Christmas Carol with Don Sheehan and Victoria Bond.
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Miss Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's dead 7 years tonight. What is it you want?
I have no doubt that his kindness is well represented by his surviving partner.
Kindness, what is it you want?
At this festive time of the season...
It's winter and it's cold.
Yes. Yes, it is, and all the more reason for our visit. At this time of year, it is more than usually desirable to make some slight provision for the poor and penniless who suffer greatly from the cold. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, ma'am.
Are there no debtors' prisons?
Many, ma'am.
And the workhouse, is it still in operation?
It is still. I wish I could say it
the
was not.
The poor law is still in full strength, then?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad to hear it. From what you said, I was afraid someone had stopped its operation.
Under the impression that they barely provide Christian cheer of mind or body to many people, a few of us are hoping to raise funds to buy the poor some meat and drink in means of warmth. We chose this time of year, as it is a time of all others, when want is strongly felt and abundance rejoices. May I put you down for something, ma'am?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous.
I wish to be left alone, since you ask me what I wish. Sir, that is my answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make lazy people merry. I help support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, and those who are poorly off must go there.
Though many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. That is not my affair. My business is. It occupies me constantly. Ask a woman to give up life and means. Fine thing. What is it, I want to know? Charity? Damned charity.
Bravo. A Christmas Carol. A little sample there from Victoria Bond and Don Sheehan. Again, performance is coming up this Friday 8 p.m. Saturday, you have two shows. You have a matinee at 3 p.m. and an 8 p.m. show. And then Sunday, you have the matinee, of course. It's November 29th, 30th, and December 1st. All at the Beale House, 222 Main Street, Kingston. Tickets will be available at the door, or you can go to the website. It is that easy. We'll get just enough to do. We going to say
Did
something?
Did we mention the ticket price?
You're welcome to if you want.
$20, right?
$20 general admission, and $15 for students and seniors. And if you have a group of 10 or more that are planning to come, reach out to us and
supply a group rate.
Yeah, supply a group rate from there.
Very good. And again, the website is www.truereptheatre.com. Don't say you weren't warned. And get your tickets today. We just got a couple of moments left here, and I want to leave enough time as we close out the show as to what it was. Two things. What are you thankful for during this holiday season as you get ready to assemble with family and friends? If you want to add an element as to what you look forward to at the dinner table, you can also do that as well. We'll start with the ladies first. Victoria.
Well, I mean, I certainly am thankful for health and family, first and foremost. And as far as what I look forward to at the dinner table, I'm going to offer a pro tip, by the way, because I've officially become the cranberry sauce maker in my family.
Have you now?
I have, because I stumbled on a recipe years back and have fine-tuned it. So you boil those cranberries in orange juice. And then you add a little orange zest and a little bit of Grand Marnier. And wah, baby.
It's funny is that when you get to mention it, now again, radio not being a visual medium, Dawn kind of perked up. It was very very interesting. Are you like a cranberry person, Dawn, or just
took mine?
Did she really? Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's interesting. I was actually listening to the radio yesterday, and there was some type of poll that was done about the top 25 states who don't like cranberry on their table at Thanksgiving, and Massachusetts was one of them.
Oh, stop.
I typically eat the whole bowl. No one else typically touches it, so I just take it off the table, steal it, and throw it down my throat.
I'm going to have to give you some of my cranberry sauce.
See, I see the cranberry sauce is like that transition from the meal when you have your vegetables, your turkey, the potatoes, and it's the transition to the dessert portion.
I don't disagree.
That's the way I see it. And if I have something a little too tart on my plate, I go to the cranberry sauce. You gotta have it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You gotta have it.
I'm telling you, a little bit of Grand Marnier. What?
Really?
Those cranberries.
Anything else, though? Is there a vegetable that you look forward to, or is there a part of the turkey?
Well,
I
do love a great green bean casserole. I mean, who doesn't?
It's three or a four beaner.
Green bean casserole.
Well, I mean, but okay, I'm thinking more of just okay.
No, I mean
just
that
strictly just
that
green beans.
Bean casserole with the cream of mushroom soup and the toasty onions on top, which is
I cross streams.
Horrible.
You should never do that. At least
horrible,
till the end of the movie.
But it's delicious.
Okay, because myself, when you're talking, when I think of green beans or certain
the green bean casserole from our childhood, dear.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I stand corrected. You, other than cranberry sauce, is there something you look forward to? Is there a particular vegetable that you like, or a portion of you mashed potatoes and gravy, or a particular part of the turkey?
There really isn't. I just sort of go for the entire table. Then I go to sleep, and then I go back for the table again.
Yeah.
If I could, really quickly, I know that in terms of things that people are thankful for, and I just have to sort of echo what Victoria has said in terms of health and family and friends. I have been very lucky and very blessed with an incredible family and an incredible group of friends, not only here in this state, but that sort of spread wide. And while she's here sitting next to me, I'm also very thankful for this person here
so
who
sweet.
I've barely known for just over a year, who has really come into this theater company as an acting colleague and also as a friend. And she just
she gives 150% of herself. And I just want to take a moment to thank her for that. And we're very lucky to have the company of actors that we do because,
Bravo.
You know, people yeah. are incredibly committed. And I think if you come out to see this show, you're going to see that from every performer or from any of our shows. But.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful to you, too. And to have the theater is a wonderful thing. Anyway.
That's such a touching moment.
And we're grateful for Kevin Tachi.
We sure are.
Who's always so generous with his time.
Yes.
Oh, see, now I was going to have Dawn and I break out into singing Happy Birthday, but we'll fuck out.
Oh, God. I've had enough Happy Birthday.
No, she hasn't.
If you happen to see her, it's not too late to wish her a belated birthday, as we gathered recently to celebrate a big number. So
a big number.
You should have stayed for charades.
I know. I really was.
You really missed.
Really,
you sure did.
Oh my God! You didn't videotape it?
No.
Darn.
We should have done that too.
Oh. Well, listen. I want to thank both of you. Please, I say this in the sense of the word as it's meant to when you're talking to folks in theater or when it comes to acting, and that is Break a Leg.
Thank you.
I hope for a great success for these four shows. Again, True Repertory Theater. If you're going to go out and hang out in the cold at, 4 o'clock in the morning in shop and on Friday and then you get nothing to do in the evening, stop by Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Take in the show.
Absolutely.
You know, if you've got an excuse for Friday night, well, you get two shows on Saturday at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. And then, you know what? If you're not a football person, head on. You actually can go see this show at 3 o'clock. Patriots don't play until 4:25 p.m. So you have no
excuse. You'll be done.
You'll be home.
Yeah, you'll be done. Yeah. You'll be done by then.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the kids' attention span either. It's around an hour. So.
Yep.
But no, I want to thank everybody, and I want to thank Victoria and Dawn for being here. And I just want to thank you and hope all of you enjoy your holiday, your Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends, and you have something also to be thankful for. You've been listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have a great Thanksgiving.